joining the Rolling Wall podcast is Totai Kefu, or Kef to his mates, who's down here in Coffs Harbour with the South Magpies as they take on the Hunter Wildfires tomorrow. He's giving me a big smile, so I reckon I might have absolutely butchered his name.
No, you got it right.
And he's joined Souths, a place he knows very well, as a defence coach. How'd that come about?
I'm very good mates with Garrick. I've known him for a long, long time, unfortunately. I gave up. I finished my role with the Tongan rugby team last year, so I've got a bit of time on my hands this year. This year is all about just probably sitting back, taking, you know, spending some time with the kids, especially those that are still at school. So yeah. I had some time on my hands, and I said, yeah, why not? You know, it's a club that I dearly love. It's a family club. All my kids play there. It was a club. It was a reason why we came to Australia, actually, South. They recruited my father to play all the way back in 1975. So, you dig up the ground. It's my DNA is buried under the hallowed Chipsy Wood Oval.
Oh, and I like how you say your time with Tonga. You've only been the national coach from 2016 to 2023. So, yeah, so much modesty there. 2 World Cups.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Had a learnt a bloody lot, still learning. So I was also an assistant coach at the 2011 World Cup. So I've been to 3 World Cups as a coach, and been to 1 World Cup as a player, and fortunately we won that back in 99 with the Wallabies. But learnt. Those 8 years I had with Tonga were a massive learning curve. Learned a lot of stuff off some very good quality coaches, but just observing other teams and high performance environments and learning what to do, but more importantly, or just as important, learning what not to do. It all depends on your environment and your team. Not everything's applicable. Still learning.
Yeah, it must have been a bit of a culture shock coming from Kapoda before that, coaching in the Japanese league.
Yeah, well, I played there for 6 years, and pretty much straight after my 6 years as a player, they offered me the head coaching role. So I coached there for another 5 years, I think it was. So I was in Japan for 12 years. Japanese do things very differently. But I enjoyed. I had the best time of my life. My family absolutely adored Japan. My two youngest kids were born there. The food, the culture, the people, absolutely respectful. A great time in my life. Those 12 years, and I look back with some bloody fond memories.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and it seems like every rugby person that goes to Japan just can't speak more glowing of it.
Well, it's the land of the rising yen, right?
Yeah.
They pay well too, which probably a lot of people forget to mention, and that's the reason why we're there, right?
Yeah.
To earn some bank and put some money away. So, look, honestly, going there pretty much paid for my house. So, not only was that beneficial for the family. We had a wonderful experience.
Yeah. You know, 60 cats for lobbies, that's got to take toll on your body. You've got to get that bank somewhere.
Yeah. Well, 60, that was a trade-off. I think if I stayed in Australia, because I was still quite fairly young, I was only 29, I would have backed myself to probably get to 100 caps. And that's something that I'll probably regret. But on the other side of the coin, like I said, the experience I had in Japan was second to none.
Now, with rugby, you can see the world, with the right skill set and the right mindset, and it's just so good to hear that, people out there loving it.
That's probably one of the biggest advantages that we probably don't sell enough in our sport is it's a world game. It is literally a world game. And, we've got a lot of kids going to AFL, rugby league, and we lose a lot of them because of the money, yeah, and fair enough. But what rugby offers in terms of international travel and visiting places, and then once you get there, the opportunities that that opens up. I mean, there's semi-pro leagues in Sri Lanka, Romania, Russia,
Netherlands.
Spain, Netherlands. Like, I've got a first cousin who lives in Netherlands. Now he's been there for 15 years. He married a Netherlands girl.
Yeah,
lucky him. And he works at the airport.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a degree that enabled him to work at the airport. He's got a kid and one on the way.
Yeah.
All through rugby.
Yeah.
All right. Because of rugby.
Yeah. And teams like Netherlands are a good chance to make an expanded 24 team World Cup.
Yep.
Like, rugby's ever growing as a national game.
It is, and people. I think young people, we don't sell it enough. Young people now, they're quite tunnel vision in terms of, you know, they see the money, they see the fortune and the fame, but what rugby offers in terms of not only the travel, but I think, you know, we have different values.
Yeah.
We're a great family culture, we're all connected. You could go to a club overseas, anywhere in the world, and you say you play rugby, they'll welcome you with open arms.
Yeah.
You're one of the family.
Yeah, it's just so amazing. Like you said, we need to beat that from every drum, from every mountain in Australia and
exactly.
beyond.
Exactly, exactly. And that's how we can retain players, we can recruit players. You know, I don't think we use that enough.
And from the glitz and glamour of France last year to Japan 2019 in the world's, you know, eyes, rugby eyes on you, to Tonga back, you know, home on the island. What would you bring from Tonga rugby to Australia? What do you think that, what's a special ingredient you could bring back to Australia?
Look, I think with a lot of Tongans' natural talent, they have that raw bone athleticism. They have that raw bone physicality. Now, when these kids go into academies early, because they get recruited because of that, but when they go into academies early, they kind of get that kind of physicality and that raw bone hardness trained out of them.
Yeah.
You know? And I think they just become different. They're different. You know, whereas if you get a Tongan player that comes straight off the island, play Super Rugby, international rugby, they don't get that physicality and that raw bone hardness trained out of them.
Yeah.
And academies, I know they like things really structured. Well, you can't, don't hit too hard because it might be a penalty. Well, that's what Tongan people are born with, you know, winning collisions and hitting things hard.
Yeah.
Okay, we might get a little bit inaccurate every now and then, but I think that raw bone physicality is what we're missing, and that's been trained out of us, I think, and I think we need to keep that.
Yeah, and so how do you, you know, you meet many Tongan people, heritage in your rugby, how do you try and bring that back if it's been coached out of them?
Look, I think I try and tell my players, or the players that I had over my tenure, be yourself. You know, follow your instincts, follow your gut feeling. You know, they could be a bit loose. They're going to be a bit loose every now and then, and there might be a penalty every now and then. But on the flip side, what they do with that raw bone hardness is they make other teams think, wow, well, if this guy's going to do this, well, I might change this and I might not touch the ball as much as, you know. So that's what old school Tongan rugby was about. It was born about that raw hardness, physicality, bone on bone. And that's what we're renowned for, you know. And I think over the years, while I've been with Tonga, we've had some wonderful players, but, you know, players have been trained to be smarter around that physicality and that collision stuff, to be a little bit more accurate. But, you know, I just like that hard, old-school Tongan attitude where I don't think past the consequence. You run at me, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a, you know, he's just vocal, but I'm sitting across the road a metre from him, and I am shit scared at the moment. He's going to just think he's back playing rugby and run at me, and I'm going to be in this concrete as a footprint. Oh, he is a big man. And on the flip side, going back to the Wallabies program, 60 caps, what's one thing you'd bring from there into 2024?
Oh, look, I think the Wallabies were well and truly a well-oiled machine back in my day, very well organised, very well resourced. You know, the Tonga, it's been well documented. Our union is we don't have as much resources as a lot of the other countries, yeah. So we've got to become creative about the way we do things. And you know, that's and I think when I came through the system, everything was laid out for us. That could be good or bad, but you know, we had resources aplenty. You know, one of the biggest issues we had with Tongan rugby was excess luggage. We couldn't afford to pay excess luggage. So we had gear all around Europe, yeah, and all around America and Asia, just simply because we couldn't afford excess luggage. So we just left it there. And then, so the next cycle,
yeah,
we would have to spend most of our investment on buying the same gear, you know, so it just didn't make sense. And that's just the lay of the land, you know. When you're with the tier one nations, New Zealand, Australia, England, whoever it was,
yeah,
you've got resources aplenty. Mm. And that's probably that's obviously the biggest difference, yeah, between the tier ones and the tier twos.
Yeah, it's just to hear the insight. If you and I go to Australia, you know, go over Europe, like the excess baggage, I think, yeah, it's just insane to hear. Like, you just don't hear that level of detail.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you're able to, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, obviously being part of the Tonga Pro, what Moana Pacifica means to Tonga and how that's all being received over there?
Yeah, Moana Pacifica is a legitimate pathway now to Tonga. For example, we picked up a couple of players from Moana Pacifica for our World Cup campaign last year. Number 8, Lotu Inisi, his brother, the winger, Fine Inisi. There was a young winger who got man of the match last week, actually. His name was Kyron Taumalfelau. Now, those players I didn't know about until I saw them playing for Moana Pacifica.
Yeah.
So, wow. Great pathway for them. And they're all playing tonight against the Brumbies. So, hopefully, you know, they'll shine and get better. I think it was 7-all last time I checked, so they're going pretty good.
Yeah.
They've already had 2 wins this year. So Tana Umung has done something different. The team looks a lot more connected. So hopefully they can have a good year.
Yeah, I think, you know, in Australia, you know, imagine it happens in New Zealand too. We hear so much doom and gloom about it, but it's just so good to hear from someone that's been on the ground and just see what difference that makes. And to hear that the national coach last year, you know, like, I imagine that the visions around Tonga are hard to catch if you're not there in the game, like the videotapes and that just doesn't exist.
Look, I've had 8 years in the Tongan program, and very easy to be cynical and negative because we don't have this, we don't have that. You know. But you choose the way you react to those type of things. And I, after my first year, you know, I made a decision to, well, you know what, let's be creative around this.
Yeah.
You know, just change the way we think about things.
The level of access, how happy are of your time, it just blows my mind. Like, yeah, I just hope people listening I can't get over it.
Yeah.
And I suppose on a final note, you're here with Souths. What do you want to bring to Souths in 24, and what do you want Souths to get out of you in 24?
Oh, look, there's a group of players there that really want to go on to the next level, you know, play professionally, if not, maybe an opportunity overseas somewhere. So my job is to try and make them achieve that. So whether it's making them better at kicking, making them better at passing, maybe making them better at jumping the lineouts, I'll do whatever. But also with that journey, also building, you know, really good connections and relationships with them. Like, I didn't know half the team before, so I've got new friends. Yeah. And I think that's bloody special.
Oh, basically, like you said, like you South's the reason your family come over. Yeah, like your DNA's in that field at Chipsley.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. Look, I can't thank you enough. I don't think I'll sleep tonight now. This
Pleasure.
Has been mind blowing. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rugby.
You're welcome.
Hope my wife will get up for you.
Yeah, hope so.